Now, verse 25 through 27, and I'm reading now, as you've noted, my own translation in the book, Exploring Through Ephesians. Wherefore, having put away lying, speak ye truth, every one with his neighbor. For ye are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your indignation or your irritation. No longer give room to the devil. Now, Paul here returns to the prohibitions. He began in verse 17, where the believers told to walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. Now, these injunctions continue through the remainder now of this epistle. These are the prohibitions. This is the power of negative thinking. Now, he's to speak the truth. And he's speaking the truth. Why? Because he's to put away lying. And when the old man was put off in the crucifixion of Christ, the lying tongue and the deceitful heart were put on the cross. That's the reason he had to die for us, is because you and I are liars. Remember, David said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. I remember hearing old Dr. W.I. Carroll years ago say, he said, you know, David said, all men are liars, but he said it in his haste. And Dr. Carroll says, you know, I've had a long time to think it over, and I still agree with David. Well, speaking the truth, you see, I think it resolved most of the problems in the average church. Long ago, I gave up the idea of trying to straighten out all of the lies that I'd hear in the church. I started out, I'd follow it down. And I found out, friends, that you spend all your time doing that. Now, since believers are members of one body, they should speak the truth. Here is the thing that Chrysostom said, and it's a ridiculous analogy, but it certainly illustrates the truth. I'm reading now from Chrysostom. Let not the eye lie to the foot, nor the foot to the eye. If there be a deep pit, and its mouth covered with reeds, shall present to the eye the appearance of solid ground. Will not the eye use the foot to ascertain whether it's hollow underneath or whether it is firm and resists? Will the foot tell a lie and not the truth as it is? And what again, if the eye were to spy a serpent or a wild beast, will it lie to the foot? I know, my friend, like the fellow that said he saw a ghost at night. Well, the eye told him he saw something, and he said to his feet, "Feet, don't get in my way. I'm ready to go." And so he started out. Feet didn't let him down, you see, because they don't deceive one another. The eye won't deceive the foot, and in the church, there ought to be honesty and truth. And he says, be angry and sin not. Now, the believer's commanded to be angry with certain conditions and with certain people. You know, this idea today that a Christian is one who's a blah, that he's sweet under all circumstances and conditions. My friend, will you hear me carefully? No believer can be neutral in the battle of truth. We should hate the lying and the gossiping tongue. And when we hear that in another Christian, we should hate that thing. Now, we should not hate or loathe a person with an innate hatred, or, as Peter calls it, malice. He says that malice is something that should not be in the life of the believer, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, he says, and as newborn babes we should desire the sincere milk of the word. Malice, as someone has said, is congealed anger. Can't give it up. A great many people have certain hang-ups. They hate certain people. They can't get over it, they say. I can't forgive. Well, we should forgive and forget if the person is willing to give up their lying. And you find that the Word of God has a great deal to say about this. This idea that we're to be sort of a milquetoast individual. You remember the Lord Jesus, when he went into that temple, and there was that man with the withered hand, and they had planted him there to see what he would do. Remember what Mark says in Mark 3:5? And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He hated that thing. And he was angry with that thing. My friend, we're told that God is angry all day long with the wicked, but the minute they'll give it up, turn to him, why, he'll save them, of course. Now, that should be our attitude, by the way, the attitude of a believer. I heard of a custodian in a church. It was a church that had had a lot of problems, a lot of trouble, a lot of bitterness and hatred in the church, and a lot of little cliques, a lot of little groups. And they'd had one pastor after another. The custodian, though, had been there for years. And someone one day visited the church who knew about the church said, "How is it that you've been able to stay here so long under the circumstances?" Well, he says, "You know, I just gets into neutral and lets them push me around." My friend, a great many people think that's being the Christian, to do that. No Christian can be neutral. We're in a great battle, as we're going to see in this epistle here.